Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back, and joining us on the phone line, she has a couple of shows coming up on February 19th at the Comedy Connection in East Providence, Rhode Island. It's a bit of ways from here, but it's all in the same area. She's going to be here for three days. Friday the 20th at the Wilbur in Boston. Hopefully they've plowed everything out and we don't have any more snow. And then Saturday she'll be up in Chicopee at the Comedy Connection. We have Lonnie Love joining us. Lonnie, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Good evening. So happy to be here. And, you know, I really do hope that they plow it out, because plowing is important.
Well, listen, Lonnie, I don't know if you pay attention to what's been going on up here in the Northeast Quadrant, but it's been snowing for like 17 days and nights. They're going to have to send an ARC in to get us out, because there's about 6 feet of snow outside.
That's what I heard, and I feel so bad. So that's why hopefully next week won't be too bad. People can come out and get a laugh from, you know, being caught up in all that snow. Maybe I can warm up the place.
Well, you have that effect. You're somebody who, you've done quite well. Somebody who's supposed to be an engineer. You've gone on to have quite a career for yourself. First and foremost, why not just go straight for the comedy thing? Why go to college and work for General Motors and be like, I want to be like an engineer, an electrical engineer, and then all of a sudden go, I think I want to be funny?
Well, you know, it's called having a mother that is like, you're going to get a job and you're going to work and you're going to get benefits. And so, you know, I did it. I actually went to college and got my engineering degree to please my mom, because I grew up in the Brewster Project, and she didn't want me to, you know, live a project life. She wanted me to live a life where I was working and, you know, I'd have a better chance at it. So I really have to thank my mother for that. But while I was in college, I started getting involved in stand-up, and then that's when the bug kind of hit. And, you know, once I moved out to L.A., I was working as a project engineer, and I decided, you know, that wasn't really the thing that I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So I got back into stand-up, and I was doing engineering and stand-up, and eventually I caught a break. So everything happens for a reason, and I explain a lot of this in my stand-up act. I really like entertaining people. We have fun at my shows, you know, and it's just been growing. You know, people know me from Chelsea Lately, from the Ellen Show. I have my own show now called The Real.
Yep.
And it's just a transformation.
Now, just so you know, in case you hear another voice other than mine, not that you need to hear another voice other than mine, but I have State Rep Tom Calter, who's hanging out, he was here for the last segment, and my co-host Joe Rossi. He may ask a question or two, but I just want to make sure you're aware just before they ask you a question. I'll make sure they say who they are so you're not caught off guard.
Feel free. Just, it's a nice conversation. I don't mind.
First and foremost, I got to ask you, what haven't you done since you know, breaking into comedy? Because one of the things I see, you were on the revival of Star Search and did well in that. You've done stuff. You mentioned about being on Chelsea Lately. I think you had a chance to do something with the late great Joan Rivers.
Yes.
You know,
all of that is stuff that you know, as a growing comic, that's what you do. Especially being a female comic, a lot of people, you know, people are being introduced to me or haven't heard of me. But the thing about females is that we have to do just a little bit of everything to get the exposure that we need to try to, you know, spread our message and take it to the next level. And that's why you see me in so many things. But I really have to thank all the women comics like Joan Rivers, like Chelsea Handler, like Ellen DeGeneres, because with their support, I'm able to do the things I'm doing today.
Yeah, you've done some. I've had a chance to see some of the stuff you've done with Ellen, and you work real well with her, being the guest DJ, and you know, her kind of going to you and going back and forth. I mean, what's it like working with another comic like Ellen?
You know, the thing that Ellen gets, Ellen understands comic timing, and we're so different from each other. That's why, you know, we're different, but we work well together. And it was just an experience to be on her show and see how she works. But it's also about respect. I mean, they say that, you know, a lot of times they try to say that females can't get along or comics can't get along, but, you know, she really helped pave the way for me. And that also, you know, Chelsea is that in that same vein that, you know, we're all different, but we're all comedians, so it's about the timing, it's about understanding the humor, we understand each other, and so we all end up working well together.
You know, Lonnie, this is State Rep Tom Coulter. How are you?
Hi, Tom.
I'll ask you one question, something I've wanted to know for a long time.
If I might add, he is kind of tall, and he does know where to find the United States on a map. So I just want you to know that.
All right.
So be careful. Lonnie, I'm fascinated by comedians. I'm fascinated by comics. You know, I've been in public. I'm a businessman, and I joined the legislature 8 years ago. And it seems when I did that, under the advice of a lot of friends and family, I put my best jokes away. I put 50% of my comedy away. I'm on best behavior all the time. And now that when I'm asked to speak at an event, say a roast, where I'm expected to be funny, it's the hardest thing in the world. Tell me about your preparation for a 30-minute stand-up act.
You know, what you have to do is you have to decide on what you want to talk about. I mean, it's just like when you do a speech, you know, for your constituents. You decide what you're going to talk about, what are the issues that are important to them, what's important to you, what type of messages. It's the same thing with doing a comedy act. But then the thing about my shows is that I tend to go off into the audience because I really want to know the people, and I just get a joy out of making people laugh. There's that joy of it. And for example, Justin Bieber has a roast coming up, and Comedy Central has asked me to, you know, ask if I was interested. I really have to think about it, to be honest, because, you know, I could really go in on Justin.
I could be funny on that one.
Well, I don't want to, you know, I'm really not a mean comic. That's the issue I'm having with whether I want to do it or not. I don't like being mean and insulting. And I know it's just jokes, but, you know, I don't know if I really want to go there. I can, and I definitely can do it, but I don't know if that's what I want to do. So you just have to know what you want to talk about. And then once you, you know, do that, then you develop the jokes and you think about it in a different way. But I think, you know, I know you say you put away 50%. So I'm sure that 50% that you do keep in your speeches is just a hoot.
Well, I share your feelings. Good comedy is when nobody gets hurt, and nobody becomes the target of the victim. But you know, it's interesting. I've recently listened to reruns of Jerry Seinfeld comedy, and it amazes me the way he makes day to day life funny, the simplest things in the world. And I also saw, just by accident, a couple of months ago, a rerun of an old Dean Martin roast with all the old, you know, Don Rickles, and most of our listeners probably don't even know who they are, but you know who they are, and how amazing it was that they teed off on each other.
Right.
But nobody got hurt.
Right. And that's the thing about a roast. The roast is everybody, it really, the reason why those Dean Martin roasts worked was because everybody really knew each other. Rickles knew Dean and
they were
Sammy,
friends.
It wasn't a big deal, but sometimes with Comedy Central, they tend to put people that people don't know at all, and so then it can, you know, that's when you're borderline getting offensive. It's okay when we're all friends, because that's what made the Chelsea Handler show work, Chelsea Lately, because we all knew each other as comics. So if we're going off on each other, we knew that it was based on friendship and it wasn't some stranger doing it, you know. The thing about comedy is that it's subjective. And that's why I always tell people, and that's the reason why in my comedy shows, I try to have really good openers. It's not just me. I bring good openers that's going to, you know, warm up the crowd, make people laugh. And then, you know, I kind of just, you know, put that cherry on top at the end of the show. I mean, because there's so many things that's going on, like Bruce Jenner turning into a woman.
What's up with that?
What man wants to turn into a woman? Seriously. I mean, he's been around the Kardashians for so long that, you know, he thinks he's going to look like Kardashian, but really, you know, come on, it's Bruce Jenner. He'll look like Mrs. Doubtfire.
I got to tell you though. I think I have a reason behind that. You know, I think it's jealousy that all the other Kardashians have their own clothing line. I think he wants his own clothing line.
Do you think that? And he wanted to be a female clothing line.
I think he wants to be in Sears under, what is it? I think he's going to be called Belinda, the Belinda line. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
He sees Kim out there. He sees his two daughters through Chris, who are doing well, and they're all up there strutting their stuff, you know, being models and stuff. I think he wants to walk the runway. I think he wants his own clothing line. I could be wrong.
You could be right about that. But that's an example of a joke where you can take it into a meme, but then what you do is say, hey, you know, in the end, you support Bruce. If that's what he wants to do with his life, that's what he wants to do. And you know, good for him, no matter how old or you know, how he's going to turn out, we have to be happy for him.
Lonnie, this is Joe Rossi, and I got to tell you, I love when you're on The World's Dumbest, the series of shows there. That's absolutely, I laugh so hard when you're on those shows. And I got to ask, you know, what are some of the more recent projects that you're working on now, whether it be shows or...
Other than The Real.
Other than on The Real, maybe it's a tour that you have... coming on after Boston or whatnot. What are some of the things going on that you have coming up?
We have Fox has a new show that's hosted by Terry Crews on Fridays called World's Funniest Fails, and it's hosted by Terry. He has three comedians. We actually look at clips, and we look at clips that are failure clips. We make jokes, and it's like a contest type of thing. So that comes on Friday night. Also, I'll be in the new movie, Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 with Kevin James. It's coming out April 17th, and Kevin James was just a joy to work with. I play one of the mall cops. I'm actually the only cop that can actually kick butt. The rest of the mall cops are kind of clumsy and stuff, but I'm the only one that's helping him fight the bad guys, and that's coming out April 17th. And then, you know, of course, I'm going to hit the road and be back out on the road because we stop taping The Real after that. So, and I'm also in a new movie with Danny Glover and Danny Trejo, and it's called Bad on the Bayou. So that was a really great experience to work with. You know, they're all comedy movies, which is what I want to do in my movie career, is do comedy movies, but I'm the girl that kind of kicks butt in the movies, and I also make you laugh. And Danny Trejo and Danny Glover are both in their 70s, and they're senior citizens that are fighting crime, and I'm their partner that's helping them. I'm not a senior citizen, but they are. So it's a really funny movie, and both movies are funny, and they'll be coming out this year. So there's a lot of stuff happening on the Lonnie Love train, that's what I call it.
And to find out some of the stuff that she's working on, that she has worked on, check out her website, Lonnie, L-O-N-I, love.com. And she will be coming to Boston, hopefully if it's not snowing, Friday, February 21st, it's the 20th at the Wilbur Theater. And then the 21st, if you don't make the Wilbur Theater show, she's got it at the Comedy Connection in Chicopee, Mass., just to remind folks. I want to kind of ask you, are you working on any new comedy books? Because I know that you did, a couple of years ago, put out your own advice book, Love 'Em or Leave 'Em.
Yes.
How's that selling? Is it still selling well?
It's still doing very, very well, and I thank everybody for supporting that. It's called Love 'Em or Leave 'Em, but Don't Get Stuck with the Tab. Uh-huh. My first comedy advice book. And that's one of the things when I met Joan Rivers that she told me, you know, I was fortunate before she passed to have really good conversations with her and get really good advice. And her book, Diary of a Mad Diva, just won the Grammy. But she told me that that's one of the things as a comic that you should do. You should constantly, you know, do books, write projects. So I'll be working on that too this summer. It's just really, you have to really concentrate when you're writing a book. You know, Representative Tom probably knows this. It's just, you need to have the time to write it and, you know, have the creativity. So when you're doing movies and projects, it's really hard to do it. But now I can come back and I'll be working on that this summer, a new whole different type of comedy book.
These days, Lonnie, I have to concentrate to remember what I had for breakfast.
I understand.
You know, it's funny. I thought I was funny at one time, but I get all these texts in the last 10 minutes from friends and family that say, Tom, this is a really good time for you to be still.
That's funny. You know, at least the people around you are funny, Tom.
No, they know that I'm not, I guess.
Oh, that's funny.
I guess the other thing I was going to ask you, you had mentioned about you got Paul Blart, you got Mall Cop 2. What was the chemistry working with him? I mean, my favorite scene is from Soul Plane when you were working with Monique and you guys were working, you know, you're working, you know, people coming on the plane and, you know, one guy comes by, you know, like, oh, 50 cent or more like 5 cent. You know, get back there. What was it like working with Kevin compared to working with someone like Monique?
You know, the thing about working with a comic, this was the first movie, and I really have to thank Kevin. He co-wrote the movie. He was there on every scene, and he allowed us, you know, we did the first take the way it was written, and then afterwards he allowed us to play and improvise and things like that, so... That's why the movie's going to come out really, really funny. We had this great fight scene that I actually did stuff with. And he just made me feel at home and very comfortable. And, you know, it's like he allowed the creativity to flow. And one thing about this movie is it has a lot of his older comedian friends in it. Mm-hmm. So it really was a labor of love. This movie has a lot of his family and friends and comics. And that's something that, you know, I aspire to do one day. You do a movie and I could put all of my comedian friends in it, you know, and make it funny. So I tell people to support Kevin James. He's a really nice guy, funny man, and he really gives comics a chance, too. So I'm excited for people to see it. There are two trailers for Paul Blart up now. If you go to my Twitter or either if you go to, if you have Twitter or if you go to YouTube, just look up Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. They're really funny trailers that are coming up for the movie.
Well, when do we expect that to be in theaters?
It'll be in theaters April 17th.
All right. So, see, I'm already kind of working it. Maybe we kind of get you back on in March or something so you can kind of promote that.
Yeah, that would be great. So I would love to do that. And, you know, it stars Rainey Rodriguez as his daughter. It's just, and this is a six-year gap between the first Mall Cop and the second one because the story behind it that Kevin told me is that, you know, it's produced through Adam Sandler, the Happy Madison, and they didn't want to do a... Adam doesn't really like sequels, but the studio said, hey, if we're going to do Grown Ups 2, and if it does well, you know, he said, then I'll do another sequel for another movie. Well, Grown Ups 2 made over $100 million at the box office, so then Adam picked Mall Cop Paul Blart 2 as the second sequel, and that's how Kevin got the sequel to it.
Oh, okay. Because as soon as you said that Adam Sandler doesn't like doing you know, sequels, I go, wait, what about, you took it right out of my mouth, Grown Ups 2. I mean, what was the excuse for that?
Yeah. You know? That they really talked him into doing that, you know. And so because it did so well, you know, he said, okay, I'll pick another one of my movies. And so he picked, that's how Kevin got it. So I'm happy it happened. Because I got a part in it, so it's interesting. It's really hard to get a movie made these days, because if it's not a superhero movie or something like that. And the thing is, too, this is not an R-rated comedy. This is a PG-13, so they really had to work with me on some of my language. So I'm proud of myself, Representative Tom. Yes.
I have to ask you. You know, you talked about being on with Chelsea Handler, Chelsea lately. I mean, that I believe that I've seen an interview where you've kind of said that doing that show helped you get ready to be, you know, a host on The Real. Is that true?
Oh, definitely, because Chelsea's show is a panel show. The Real is a panel show. Mm. I learned about actually having to listen to people, timing when to come in, when to go out, what to say, concise what I say, and condense it down so that it makes sense sometimes. So she really did help me. And we did 7 seasons. And she has her project coming back on Netflix, which I'm excited to, you know, see what she's going to come up with, a whole new thing on Netflix, a Chelsea Handler show. So, but she really did help, because I would do the show once a week, and that really helped me to prepare to be on the panel show for The Real.
Okay. Once again, let's remind folks, you are coming to Boston on the 20th. It's for Friday, the Wilbur Theater. Have you ever done the Wilbur before?
It's been a long time since I've been there, but I love Boston. I love the people of Boston. They're strong people. They love to laugh. You know, so Boston is always a great place to do comedy.
Now, do you have any idea who is going to be opening for you?
Right now, I have scheduled a young man named Willis Turner and a young woman named Sibley Cookie. And, you know, we probably have another host. But I usually like to have maybe two or three people in front of me just to get, you know, the different, you know, give different styles of comedy. And then I just come along and we end the show and we have a great time.
Well, I have to say that I have actually now fulfilled my bucket list because I had two people on my talk show host interview bucket list. You were one and the other was your boo. Do you know who that is?
Dr. Drew?
I had Dr. Drew on last year.
Yes! Oh, my goodness.
I did. And I actually saw the episode of Life Changes. Whatever happened with that young lady, the one who had the problem with her face, and they were able to solve it, and then I think you were going to kind of give her a little tutelage as far as being a comedian. How did that go?
It went really, really well. She continued to go to the dermatologist, and now her skin is much better than what it was before. And she's still doing, like, open mics around the town. So I'm very, very happy. Yeah, I stay in touch with her. And that's what we do, too, with The Real. I plan to, you know, do segments where I'm showing, helping comics and stuff. That's my way of giving back, you know, to the comedy community. But, yeah, isn't Dr. Drew a dream? He's a really nice man. He's also helped me a lot in my career. That's why I call him my boo. And he pronounces big words for me, Representative Tom, when I need it.
I got to tell you, this has probably been one of the best interviews that we've had in some time. And we want to thank you, Lonnie, for being a guest. We welcome you to come on back, whether you're coming back to do another show or if you're able to promote Paul Blart, Mall Cops 2, or Mall Cop mm-hmm. 2. I'd love to have you back on anytime that you're up in the area.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. You guys have a great evening.
Yes, and don't forget to pack your snow boots and your winter coat because it's going to be a lot of snow.
I will. I definitely will.
You have yourself a great evening.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
You got it. There she is. Lonnie Love. Check her out. Lonnie Love. com. And once again, three shows, I believe the 19th down in East Providence at the Comedy Connection, the 20th at the Wilbur in Boston, and then Saturday, the 21st at the Comedy Connection in Chicopee, Massachusetts. Not too bad of an interview, would you say?
That was funny.
And you got a question in too, didn't you?
Oh, yes, I did. Thank you, Kevin.
Well, I was just, yeah, sometimes no, it depends on you, Joda. So I can take a breath here.
Well, I mean, you know, I think I was telling you before we went on air, that show in particular is where I know we're from. And quite funny. One of the funnier. They have like five or six comedians on there, and she is very funny. So.
She does a fantastic job. And just knowing her whole story, how she kind of came from being somebody who was in one profession and went on to another. And
very interesting. You don't hear stories like that when you see the comedians on the stage, so it's nice to see, you know, a background like that.
And again, her website is lonnielove.com, Lonnie, L-O-N-I. And just one other quick note before we sign off and throw things to the top of the hour and South Shore Live, Stan and the Gang. For all of your information regarding school closings and delays, be sure to check out online 959wat.com/closing. I know that Will did a great job kind of creating that page, so folks want to find out. And all of the great folks here who have done a tremendous job during these storms, whether it's Larry, who's, I think, done his time and then some today, and Ed Perry, who's out there, to even Dave Skill, who's, you know, hanging out and going to be giving you your information tomorrow morning. It's a team effort here. And that's about all the time that we have here on a Monday Night Talk. Be sure to tune in next week. I've already lined up some great guests. One of them includes Brock DeMille, Bill Carpenter. We'll speak with him. We've got some authors coming up in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned for that. And if you've missed any of the segments that we had on here, it's as easy. Go to 959WATD.com. Scroll down on the homepage. Look for Monday Night Talk. You click on it, it'll take you to all of our podcasts. We thank the folks who
whether they listen to it on the podcast page, or there are times that folks like to use their smartphones and listen to us, whether it's an Android or an iPhone. It's pretty cool.
Well, I can tell you, I got some friends out there listening now. Steve, Harpo, Steph, Ronnie, Scotty, listen in. So
thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And Monday Night Talk, that's where everyone finds out their information.
Fantastic.
You and I, Kevin.
That's all the time that we have until next week at 6:15. Have yourself a great evening.